Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
I want us to consider this model of the year, as you see at the top of the blackboard. The Jesus, what a friend in 2010. I want to talk about that this morning. But let's ask him to come and bless us by singing off in hymn number 400, to call upon the name of Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us," number 400. If we're going to think about the Lord Jesus and how what a wonderful friend he is, and he's a personal friend, I think we ought to sing, "Jesus is the lover of my soul." It's 427.
While the nearer one the last one that's remained standing for congregational prayer.
When His grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, naked King, be pure within.
We just sung words like heal the sick and lead the blind and let the healing streams abound. That is, to make me pure within. Let's pray. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you have arranged for us to be here. We want to lift up your name. We want to worship as a church and as a way that will please you. Take these hymns that we've already sung, and may they be from the sincerity of our hearts. And may we see the need for your presence, your blessing, and so a fount of all joy and blessings. And as we've also acknowledged that you love us, you love us eternally, and those of from the even before the foundation of the world, you have a people that have been appointed, selected, and elected to be saved. Thank you that, Father, I believe there are some here this morning fit that category. I desire the whole of us would fit that category. But we pray for thy Spirit to bless us in this morning. And we ask that that your will be accomplished in the lives of these come to my mind. And I pray, Father, that you would look upon these different individuals. We would ask for Sonny and Shirley's grandson, Joshua. Lord, he still needs help. A young man, and we desire your hand upon him. And we desire health and strength. We desire that he grow strong and grow up and come to know the blessed Lord Jesus and live for him. We also pray for Scott Muthler as he's in prison for a traffic violation. And we pray for Scott. And we pray for his dad and his mom. And as they are very much upset and concerned, grant them understanding that a loss can be gain. And then, Lord, there would be a gain if Scott would come to know Jesus Christ personally. We pray for Scott. We pray also for Jason Peasley and for the help you've given him. May your will be accomplished also there. We pray for Cassie Moser with the malaria disease. We ask that as she got this in Africa, we pray your blessing upon her. And now we have read this letter. I read this letter to our hearing about Joe Serapali and his family. And we're grateful that you've helped them. It's been a year of trials. And we're asking now that this year you would guide him. And we ask for health for him and wisdom for him and his family and the blessing that you'd use him in that area. We also ask for our brother Ken and sister Kath Ashcroft as they are becoming aged and still ministering the word. We pray for your blessing upon them. And then, Lord, we don't want to forget it, an acquaintance of ours in Ishmael Woodard. Look upon him. You made him. You're the creator. Help him. Guide him. And may your best be given to him. Once again, we pray this morning that you look upon us individually in our needs. We all have needs. And look upon us collectively as a church as we're in this new year. and that we might do your will and that you'd be pleased with us. We pray for help spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and physically. In the name of our blessed Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing another hymn before we study the Word of God. And that is, I think, kind of our theme hymn for the motto, and that is Jesus, What a Friend, 432. If you will, please, go to the book of Proverbs and chapter 18 and verse 24. This passage has reference to the Lord Jesus. I know it, for he says he is in all the scriptures. And verse 24 of the 18th chapter of Proverbs, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if you have some translation other than the King James Version, you're going to say, well, that doesn't seem quite what it No, it doesn't, because there is a translation of the Hebrew. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you very quickly. Most of us have the King James Version. I think that it's acceptable, and that translating that Hebrew word gives the impression that perhaps that it's saying that a man that hath friends, it is saying there that a person can make many friends, but he can do it to his own destruction. Now, that's one translation. I'm not going that route. And so if your Bible has something like that, you just have to, you'll have to figure it out for yourself, because I'm accepting this verse 24th verse as it is, and that is that if a man hath friends, he must show himself friendly. And so I do that very quickly, just in case some of you find that it's a little different than a Bible that you may have in your hand. Now, I think I've made that clear enough, but I love this passage. And I have not arrived. I think some of you are more advanced in this than I am. Yeah, I acknowledge that. And that is this matter of friendship. But I'll not take a back seat in that. My blessed Lord Jesus is my friend, and he's my personal friend, as I have on the blackboard here. Now, I just want to say this first part, for most of us have neighbors, don't we? And so you say, well, I've been praying for my neighbors, and I like to see the Lord work in hearts, and I could tell you some stories about living around unsaved neighbors over the ministry of my life as ministry, and I have been really surprised. Don't give up. But I do want to say to us as having neighbors that we are social creatures. And don't get the idea that you're on island all by yourself. You don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. I have my job. I have my home. I have my family. You need more than that. We are social creatures, and we do need friends. We need an intimate friend most of all, and that is the one that the second part of this verse, that is our Lord Jesus. He's the one that sticketh closer than a blood brother. Now, I think to a neighborhood, I think we ought to demonstrate a little kindness. Not falsely. I think we ought to develop to be a little kind. You know, we can be astute, and we can, somebody does us wrong, or maybe a dog runs on our lawn or something. Hey, careful now. The Bible's talking. This is God speaking to us. You want to have some friends, you want to have a friendly neighborhood, you just be careful about how you act towards your neighbors. I've lived long enough to know that there's a lot of neighbors that they're ugly towards one another. And I'm just not something for, you saw on television, but they do emphasize it, don't they? But it's true. And I think we need to be benevolent to our neighbors. I'm thinking seriously that we ought to have one of these block parties whereby out in the parking lot have all set up for folk to come and have some snacks and have a time of neighborliness. I tell you, verse 24 does say something to us about having our neighbors, friendly neighbors. And you say, well, how practical can you get it? Hey, this is the Lord speaking. And I just want you to know that if we're to be courteous, some of us could take some lessons in etiquette. We're perhaps not as, and I guess I'll speak for myself, perhaps we're not as courteous and kindly as we really ought to be. You know, whether you believe it or not, for me to speak like this, it bothers me a little bit, because I'd rather sit there down beside you and talk to you, but the Word of God says, cry out and speak forth. If I came to your living room, I wouldn't do this, would I? And sometimes I have the feelings that I ought to just kind of talk with you, you know. You folk, nice to see you all, and so forth and so on. And you know. But the Word of God says I am to cry out and to give forth God's Word. And so I want to say to you to have our language and our behavior around our neighbors is very important. Where do you get that? Verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's where I get it. And as far as families, now can't we talk about families here this morning? Oh my, oh my. And I hear of a problem with a family where they don't talk. It cuts me. And I really feel badly. I almost feel like crying. But this is happening. You know, some of your kinfolk. I think that it's saying to me in verse 24, you need to have strict desire for peace among their family. Some people won't go to reunion. Strict desire for peace. Because I tell you, friends, we're going to have to give an account for our actions. And so maybe we set the example on some of these things. And husband and wives. You say, well, what application does that? Listen, maybe she's not your best friend. Who is your best friend? Is he your best friend? When we don't even hardly talk. Whoa, what does God say in verse 24? It says, you'd better smarten up because I gave you that person, and in spite of all the problems that I may have and she might have or whatever, we're to get along as husband and wife, and we're to demonstrate a tenderness of love, fellas. You want to hear an old man talk like that? Tenderness of love, fellas. And you ladies, I can say something to you that is, you had to be forbearing, forbearance towards us. We're humans. And we have our faults. Some forbearance, wives. And if we have tenderness of love, as the Bible says, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, fellas. If you think you've arrived on that one, you haven't. I know you haven't. But this is the matter of verse 24. Is a great verse. I've known it for years. I love it. Never preached on as far as I know. But I really like it. I really think that we need to see that there's what the word is, reciprocity. There you are. You say, well, that's a big word. It means you give and take. And here's where I would like to crawl down behind the pulpit. Have I been reciprocal as I ought to be? We demonstrate different ways, but some people are always giving. And we say, well, but you need to reciprocate. Do it your way. It isn't always monetary, but it's maybe since some time with them or some visits or something. I do think that verse 24 is it's something you say, well, I know all there is. You do not know all there is. I don't know all there is about verse 24. And I've been around as well as long as most of you have. One person a little older, a couple of days older than me here. But listen, it's a tremendous verse, and I think they need to see that we get to it. I see this verse horizontally, you know, out there. There's all you folk out there. And it says, I am to be friendly, you're to be friendly, we're to reciprocate, we're to know each other, we're to love each other as Christians. We need to work at this. It's something you just don't say, well, hey, that's the way I am. No, no, don't excuse yourself. I think sometimes we excuse ourselves and say, well, you know, no, don't do that. Because I can show you that the Word of God says friends ought to tell you your faults. Yeah, there's a verse like that. Fact of the matter is, we can come back to this 18th chapter. Let's go to the 27th chapter. And, well, we're talking about reciprocity and the sharing and trying to be friendly towards one another. Let's go to the 27th chapter of Proverbs. And where you want to go, I want to go to that verse 9. Yeah. What does that have to do with friendship? Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Yes, sir. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You see, we ought to be open to counsel. And that involves also the matter of telling one another their faults. If you would understand it as I understand it, that there's a duty. There's a duty for us to do these things, and that we ought to give hearty counsel. A duty. All right. Suppose you have the idea that everything you do is right. Say, well, that's the way I understand it. But suppose it's not. And suppose, as a friend that can give hearty counsel, he said, hey, Brother Robbins, I've got to tell you something. What? I think you're wrong on that. And I should say, well, how is it I'm wrong? And you take the time to show me. Uh-uh. That's not a way to make a friend to tell him his faults. Oh, yes. There's another verse that says about faults, that a true friend will tell you your faults. I at the moment, I don't have it. But he'll tell you your faults. We do it in a friendly way, I suppose. But listen, it may be a real asset to you if you take some counsel. You say, well, you preach from the pulpit, and you give counsel from the pulpit. Indeed, I do, but you can turn me off. I know how easy that is. But don't turn off the Word of God. This is God's Word, not the preacher. God's Word. This is inspired Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And this matter of taking some counsel, you've not arrived, I've not arrived, and there's areas where a dear brother said something to me. He said, I think you had reference to what I had to say one time. And I used to like, I'll mention his name, Darrell Whelan. He used to be here. He and Beatrice, you remember, some of you older folks remember. But Darrell was the kind of a fellow that I appreciated for this. If I preach something and say it hit him, he'd call me on the phone and said, hey, I wonder if you're going to be home this morning. I said, yeah, I'll be here. He said, I want to talk over something that you said last Sunday morning. I feel that maybe you were preaching at me. Now, brethren, I try not to do that. I try not to do that. But some people can take it. I knew a man, a businessman, said to me, he was in a church service back in Columbia County. He said, you were preaching specifically to me. And he didn't show up for 3 Sundays, and I went to see him. I said, I'm not coming. He said, you preached specifically about finances and hit me, and you did it. I said, no, I didn't. Before God, I did not have you in mind. Some of these things you got to take. Well, anyway, he believed me, and he came back. What's the point? The point is here, biblically, we are to help one another. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, you may not have to know all the details, but if I say to you, pray for me, and I don't give you all the details, you still could pray for me, couldn't you? I had a man do that. He said, I have some anxiety in my life, and I desire to have some prayer. Hey, that's fine. And are you praying for him? Yes, I am. We're to bear one another's burdens. But I tell you, you think a friend is always nice to you and pats you on the back. Hey, you're a nice guy. And never say anything and never criticize him. Never does it. That is not a true friend. A true friend diplomatically, kindly, courteously. If a person's wrong, is say, I don't think you're right on that. I'd be glad to share with you what I feel about that, because as brothers, we need to get things right. How's that go over? You get any of that? I tell you, this, the matter of friendship is very important. But I want to get to the last part. I'm talking presently horizontally, and that is the first part of verse 28 that tells us that if a man is to, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The second part is vertically, and that has to do with our blessed Lord Jesus, the last part. Horizontally and vertically is what we're talking about here this morning. But an openness and a frankness of spirit, a kind, gracious Christian spirit, and have it all built upon a virtuous, yes, and an honorable disposition, if we can do that. I believe we can. God has. You know, I was thinking, you've heard of the relationship of Jonathan and David in the Old Testament, they had a real close relationship. And I think it was pure. I know there's some perverse people trying to make you think it's otherwise. But the relationship of the Word of God says about Jonathan, and when the Word of God says about Jonathan and David, it's pure. And it was pure. And that was a kind of a friendship. And they had confidence in one another in spite of the blood of his dad. Jonathan's father was the king, King Saul. And this relationship between he and Jonathan, or David, was even greater than the matter of Jonathan and his dad, the king of Israel. See, sometimes, as we'll see, there's a sticking, a hearing, that's closer than a blood brother. I'll get to that. I think it's so wonderful that, for instance, said of Abe Lincoln, that when he started out, they said of him that Lincoln has nothing, but he's got a lot of friends. Now, I tell you, if you got friends, real friends, not the summer kind, you know, you go on a vacation and you meet some folk and you have hot dogs roast and so forth and you make some friendship, but you never even see each other again and forget to even write cards or anything later on. It's just a summer thing. But if you have some friends, you're a rich person. They're not plentiful. In fact, I think culturally it's almost a time where there's just no closeness. You mind your own business, get in your car, go to work, and do your job, come home and do your work, and watch your TV and go to bed. Don't spend any time with anybody else. It's just you and perhaps, you know, mommy and the baby makes three. No. God didn't make us that way. Inasmuch as we're lost sinners and we have the problems of sin in our lives, even as Christians, we're still to work on this matter of friendship. The Bible speaks a lot about friendship. Take the concordance. It almost blew me away. And here I'm standing up here this morning trying to explain a little bit about friendship. And the book of Proverbs is just full of friends. Friendship. And yet sometimes we say, well, if culturally friendship is a thing of the past, then we Christians. You know, I just got finished reading this book. And I'm going to brag on it. And you say, well, that wasn't long. Yeah, 288 pages. Peace Child. So what? Well, this man here, Don Richardson, he's the writer of it. So what? Just a minute. Don was a man that he was a missionary to the tribes, the Sawi tribes of New Guinea. Now it's Indonesia. Listen, I couldn't believe it. I am familiar with New Guinea because one of the fellows who used to come here, Paul Hagenbu, in World War II, that's where he served. And he used to tell me about the folk of New Guinea. And so as soon as I saw it was New Guinea, I thought, well, it's changed in 1963. The Netherlands owned it originally and it became Indonesia or something like that. I haven't followed up that closely. But anyway, in the 60s, this man felt that God was calling him to go to minister to savage, cannibalistic tribes, so primitive, so aboriginal that you wouldn't believe Stone Age. Here we drive jets. We have all kinds of machines. Listen, they didn't even have metal swords or anything. They used just wooden irons and so forth. See, I can't believe that. And then years ago, there used to be a magazine called The Baptist Examiner by John Gilpin, the editor at Ashland, Kentucky, and I got it for years, and he had a missionary that was in New Guinea. And I used to read the paper and read about this missionary. So when this was given to me, I read it. You talk about friendship. I tell you how they are. You want to know how they operate as far as friendship? There was all kinds of tribes. They all tribes all over that New Guinea area. Can't believe it. Here's a tribe, there's a tribe, all over it. And they would do this. They were cannibalists. And so they had this little party-like thing they would do, make a friend. Another tribe over there, and it's how are you doing, I suppose, they're fishing or something, and they get to talking to each other. And the idea is this, watch this philosophy. The idea is to make a real friend friendly. Say, come over, you know, have to eat with us or something. Get him in your house. And while he's perhaps taking a string in town, you're making knots, how many days it'll be before till he comes back, making knots. Whap. To kill him. No. Yes. That was their philosophy of life. Make a friend. Deceive them. Get them to a place where you could kill them and eat them and take their skulls and sleep on their skulls. You say, that's horrible. Well, someone said that in our culture there's no longer much friendship around. Maybe we ought to examine ourselves. Are we so wonderful as friends? Are we even obeying the scriptures? But I want to tell you what happened. Don Richardson, he went there. God gave him the ability to communicate with them. He had the linguistics ability, and he even translated the Bible, the New Testament, the Bible, in the Sawi language. You say, well, that's no big deal. You try it. You Germans, you Pennsylvania Dutch people, just give me a Pennsylvania Dutch Bible, will you? It's a great job. But he found their culture. Now listen, I wish you could all read it. He studied their culture and he mingled with them. And he had a wife and a baby, a young little baby, and all kinds of things. You say, is it really thrilling? Spiritually, it's thrilling, real thrilling how God used the ministry of he and his wife and his two little boys. These tribes, God, it gives me just chills up my back. I'm sorry, but I have chills up my back. How God worked in the tribes, wonderfully saving natives. And they put away all that kind of ugly kind of things, cannibalism and all that, eating and so forth, and killing one another, and they became friendly tribes, starting a church, worshiping together, native pastors. Man, it just isn't so. Oh, yeah. And God can do marvelous things. That's the next part, and that's the last part of verse 24. Four. What a wonderful passage. You want to have friends? You got to show yourself some friendliness. Now, but I want to tell you something. If you're going to talk about friendship, don't forget this. What? And there is a friend. What about him? Well, he sticketh closer than a brother. We don't use that word sticketh very good, but that's a good translation as far as I'm concerned. That he's a real true friend. Who is? The Lord Jesus Christ, a real true friend. And he'll stick by you. And he'll stay close to you. And he'll be a true friend, a real friend. You see, I need a real friend. I want to tell you right now, from the basis of God's word, I can promise you, guarantee you, that Jesus Christ is a real friend. And he becomes a personal friend. And he'll get real close to you. These natives, I couldn't believe how God changed lives. Couldn't believe how God changed lives. You say, well, didn't you know that preacher? Yeah, I know it. I know it in my heart, too. It's marvelous to see how these things operate, especially if you're in a little rut and you don't see people being saved. You say, well, I don't know what God's doing. Well, I don't either. It says we're to be faithful, but it does say there's a friend that's really faithful, and he is closer than a brother, closer than your own family, more loyal than your own family. See, I'm pretty close. I was pretty close to my brothers. I really was. And I appreciate that. You say, you and your brothers got along? Well, the oldest brother really was my mentor. And he really helped me. The next one, he and I had problems, but before he died, I preached to him Christ, and he trusted the Lord Jesus, and we got real close. Christ makes a difference. But there is one who sticketh closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus. Just so wonderful. Yes. In the Bible, I read about brothers. Yeah. Like who? Cain and Abel. Ooh. Brothers. Blood brothers. And I just read about Jacob and Esau. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. And then I just read about Joseph and his brothers. Ooh. And then I read a passage like this, and Christ makes a difference. I was thinking of the young man that's incarcerated. I want to see him, talk to him in the prison, but I want to say this. Don't ever give up. Just think of Joseph. Throw him in a pit. Gonna kill him. Let's sell him. Here comes a caravan. Let's sell him the caravan. Pulled him out, sold him. The caravan. Took him down to Egypt, and Big Shot said, I could use a guy like that around the place. The next thing you know, his wife arranged so that he lost all of his prestige and landed in the prison. What's the next thing you're going to tell me about Joseph? I'll tell you that he is in the palace. In second ranked man in all of Egypt. Joseph. Don't you give up. You say, well, this passage is not going to mean anything. It ought to mean a lot to us, my friends. The Lord Jesus had joy. Enjoy, and he came for the intent purpose to seek us and to save us, and he wanted us to have regeneration. He redeemed us by his own precious blood. He paid for our sins. Not only that, he desires that we be pure and be purified, and that eventually we will be glorified. Boy, I tell you something. When we get glorified, that's going to be something. Then we'll have no faults. The Lord Jesus said, I desire that. I desire that of each. Yes. It's easy to treat people for advantage sake, a smiling person, and take advantage of them, and then just fling them away. There are people that have done that to me, or so done that to you too. They were friends, but they're no longer friends. I know one lady, she cries when she thinks about a friend that she used to have years ago, and they came to a period in life where there's no friendship at all. That's not what this is saying here in verse 24, friends. You better find out what God says. He said, you need friends. You're not an island. You're a social creature. You need closeness. You need intimacy. You need personal friend, one that's real. And I tell you, the last part of this verse says, you better turn to the one, so vertically, one in heaven, and that is our Lord Jesus. Start there. Let him change your life. And save you. And then you find yourself that, as the Bible also says here in the 17th chapter, let's go there quickly. That's one page back. How about that 17th verse of the 17th chapter of Proverbs? You like that? A friend loveth at all times. It is a brother is born for adversity. Man, that's good. I'll never forget the deacons of my home church from Plymouth. And we had a viewing of my mother. And it was sad. The family didn't realize mother had come to know the Lord. But they couldn't understand why I was not all broken up. And then here comes four fellas in the door at the funeral home. And I knew who they were. They said, Brother Bill, we've come down. We want to pray for you. And they circled around me, laid their hands on me, and prayed for me. Whoa. How could you forget guys like that? Huh? How could you forget guys like that? That was about 50 miles travel one way. They had their homes. They had their TVs too. They had their shows. But it took time to come down and pray for a young guy. Born for adversity. Namely, that means sin. Our friend, verse 17, he loveth at all times. And when you're down and everybody else is against you, they'll come around and say, hey, brother, the Lord Jesus is your Savior. Yes, sir. He's going to see you through, and we're going to pray to that end. Isn't that wonderful? You know, there are some folk you can't trust. Even if you think that they're friendly, they're out to better themselves. And they'll act friendly to you and be friendly to you and promise you all kinds of things. But it's all selfish. All selfish. You can wear a pinstripe suit, sit behind a big desk, and have a real nice face on you. Or you can have a black gown on, sitting behind a big desk. Selfish. A friend, a true friend, is unselfish. No matter what the consequences, if it involves me and I have to pay the consequences, I will do it. I'm a true friend. Fact of the matter is, it has to be a loving friend. Ladies, I want to say this very kindly to you, but the Bible speaks about the fact that there's a love that the Bible speaks about that surpasses the love of women. And I know that's a very powerful attraction you gals have, but the Bible speaks about a love that surpasses the love of women. Wow, that must be some... Yes, it's the love of Christ. It really is. I wonder if you realize Christ's love for you, and it's personal. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Casting all your care upon me because I care for you, and I'll forgive you of your sins. I paid the price. I died a horrible death that you might have a personal relationship with me by my Spirit and change you, give you a new heart, forgive you of your sins, and give you everlasting life. And I'll be with you, walk with you. I am a friend that is closer than a brother. Are you reciprocating to the Lord? Are you just going on and say, well, that's fine. I got friends, and they take care of me. They're good friends. Are you reciprocating? Do you reciprocate to the Lord Jesus Christ? He has things he desires of us. He wants us to be interested in lost souls and people who have needs. I wish we could really learn that. Do you look out for the Lord Jesus' interest? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you really look out for his interest? He has interest. He has folk that need to know him savingly, personally. Do you talk to people about the Lord Jesus? Do you invite them to hear the word of God? Do you pray? Are you just simply a professional Christian? Please, what do you mean by professional? I'm not a professional. Are you sure you're not? I go to church. I sit there and listen to the preacher sing a few hymns. But basically, that's it. Oh, I know some doctrine. I can quote to you the Apostles' Creed. And I can say the Lord's Prayer. And I've studied doctrine. I know some doctrines. Your confession of faith, I know my confession of faith. You know, you can be professional Pharisee. And be octoon. Hey, this is the way you do it. An old grouch. No, a personal friend, he will tell you your faults. He'll do it kindly. You may hurt, but it'll be for your... You listen to him, if he's right, or her. But it's a personal thing. What a friend we have in Jesus. a personal thing. Do you know Christ personally? Or do you know him just professionally as you go to church and you hear about him? But do you know him intimately, personally? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Have you asked him to come into your life and save you? Now, you could do that professionally. You can take a preacher's hand, hold his hand, and preacher said, now pray this. Like I went to a big church in New Holland one time and walked in the door. Big place. Beautiful place. A mega church. Look around a little bit, and here are some tracks. Right there at the door. Look at the tracks. What does this track say? It says, if you pray this prayer, you'll become a Christian. What? Pray this prayer and you become automatically a Christian. So I read it. Whew. Something's wrong here, friends. That wouldn't do it. And that church is based on the premise you pray that prayer, then you become a member of the church. Didn't even have the gospel, my friends. Oh, but to have the Savior, to be edified, he said, I'll do this. I'll teach you. I'll give you my Spirit. He'll comfort you. He'll help you. He'll train you. He'll edify you. I have my word. Read my word. And he says, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. He says, if you love me, you'll come. You'll come when the word of God is preached and listen to the word of God and say, God, help me that I do what you say. That's what it's all about. So that when you stand before him and face him, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in. Or you could say professionally, depart from me, I never knew you. With all your religiosity, all your stand up, sitting down, and all your looks and all your religious things, all your medals and so forth, depart from me, I never knew you. Now which is it? You're here this morning, shows you have some interest. Do you know Christ as the personal Savior? I desire that you might see his great love for us. Oh, dear friends, he paid a price. I wonder if you'll sing with me the closing hymn. And that is hymn number 406. God might just use it to speak to our hearts a little more. 406.
come to the Lord this morning if you haven't, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and ask Him to come into your life. Let's sing the last stanza.
And even with the scales, to glory your heart set free, and every promise is fulfilled, if faith but brings the being. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee.
Lord God, salvation is of thee. And I ask this morning that you take the precious word and work it in our hearts. May there be an intimacy, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Help us to put away the religiosity of professionalism, but to know Christ, to know Him savingly and personally. And our Father, we're desirous also that you might do as you spake unto Moses and Aaron and to the children of Israel. And you told them and to bless them. And I ask your blessing be upon these precious folk also, that you would bless them and that you would keep them and that you would make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them and lift up your countenance upon thee and give thee peace through Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.